Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. Idea Talks is a monthly conversation with Josh Tice and other church leaders on big ideas for life and ministry. On today's episode, we have Pastor Josh Tice, who will be discussing the big idea of leadership and criticism. Pastor Josh, it's great to have you with us today.
Man, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me to, I guess, our podcast.
I was thinking that. I think you had to be here, right?
Yeah, I had to be here. This is kind of scheduled in my week at this point. No, I'm excited to talk about criticism and leadership. Fact is, every single leader, if they're going to lead, is going to experience some sort of criticism.
Absolutely. And before we jump into that, real quick, I just wanted to see if you would share a couple thoughts on upcoming Idea Day, Idea Day South. Would you share a little bit about that with us?
Yes, November 15th. It's coming up very soon. Somerville, Alabama, with host Pastor Shane Lewis there, in the middle and the heart of Alabama. So if you're in the area and you're listening to this podcast and you have not registered yet for Idea Day South, I got to tell you, you got to pull that car over to the side of the road, pull out your smartphone, and you better register at ideaday.cc because we are going to have a great time. From what I was just told, there are, as of today, about 75 registrants. Yep. And so we're getting really full, but there are a few seats left. So if you're interested, go ahead and register. What are you looking forward to about Idea Day South?
Well, I'm looking forward to just meeting the different guys that are coming in. We have pastors from several different states that are coming in. Matter of fact, this Idea Day, and everyone's unique, but this one, we have a lot of whole church staffs coming.
Yeah.
From the pastor to the youth pastor to the executive pastor.
Yeah, I really think the theme is teams almost. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams, pastors with their entire teams, 3, 4, 5 guys coming in. And that should really be an interesting conversation, I think, all the way around the round table.
Yeah, and it will sell out. We do have a few seats left, but it will sell out. So yeah. I encourage you to listen to this. If you love Idea Talks, you'll love Idea Day. And because really it's just a bunch of Idea Talks with a lot of different people from the country who want to get ideas and value ideas being shared.
I'm excited about the fact that I'm going to be, I just found this out today, but I'm going to be doing two talk or presentations that kick off into discussions, which I'm very excited about. The first one is called The Next 100, yep. which is one that I did at Idea Day Midwest and Idea Day West. I'm looking forward to doing that one out in the South. And the next one that I'm going to be doing is called?
It's called Creating a Staff Culture, which is actually a new one that we've never done before. And it's something that we'll probably incorporate in future Idea Days. But really, this one's going to be about what should a staff be like? What should the environment of the staff be like? How to create a healthy culture? And I think some of the things that we do even here at Southern Hills, we'll be talking about. And I'm actually looking forward to that because I am a benefit of that staff culture.
I'm looking forward to that as well. And I will say for our next Idea Talks episode, not this one, but the next one coming up, I'm going to be talking about the 5 tasks of a pastor. And I'm going to be talking about one of the main tasks of a pastor is how to develop that leadership culture, that pastoral staff culture within the church. That's point number 4. And that'll be next month's episode.
That was a little sneak peek if you missed that right there. So thank you for that. Well, today, we're looking forward to that talk, but today we're going to be talking about leadership and criticism. And criticism is something I think that everyone deals with, especially those in leadership. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's exactly the right question. Why a episode about criticism? Well, I've personally recently seen several cases of incredible men and women of God, many of whom are personal friends, go through times of harsh criticism and fierce opposition. Since I too have encountered this type of criticism, most of which I've deserved and has been self-inflicted, I thought it would be very cool to share what I've learned so far, and I hope it'll encourage our audience even today. Here's the main concept, Steve. I think all leaders will be criticized. I mean, even before I get into the main point, I think that's really the main thought of the day. All leaders will be criticized. If you thirst for the approval of everyone and recoil at the slightest reproach, you need to get back in line and don't attempt to lead. Because when you step out from the pack and attempt to lead, it's only a matter of time. You will be criticized.
So Josh, what you're saying is all leaders are criticized, which is probably true. Yeah. So then that would beg the question, why would anyone want to be a leader knowing yes. they're going to be criticized?
Yeah, exactly right. You sit back and say, okay, then why walk forward in a lifestyle that's going to lead to criticism? Well, here's why, in my opinion, especially in the kingdom of God, the Lord is looking for laborers in his harvest field, willing to serve but ready to lead. And look, we have a great commission from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our audience, though not all ministers, many of them are pastors, evangelists, missionaries around the world, and associate ministers, youth pastors. These are men and women of great leadership ability. It's not about them. It's not about whether or not I feel bad because somebody criticized me. We have a Savior, and we want to follow his lead. And if we are going to follow his lead, it means we have to stand up, walk forward, and lead others. And that is going to lead to criticism. People behind us and people in front of us are going to attempt to critique everything we do.
So as a leader, we will be criticized. What kind of damage can criticism cause to a leader?
Oh, irreparable damage. The problem with criticism is that it cuts right to the heart of an individual. Here an individual, let's take a minister, is just trying to serve Jesus, just trying to serve God. And suddenly the critic comes out and he is making himself vulnerable, opening himself up to attack. And then when that attack comes, boy, I've seen ministers quit the ministry. I've seen missionaries come off the field. I've seen evangelists stop serving. And I've seen servant leaders within a local church step back from all ministry and say, you know what? I don't need this. And what the big damage? The big damage is the kingdom of God is held back because leaders haven't learned how to deal with criticism. Now, we would say, hopefully, let's just stop all the criticism. The problem is we can't do that, but we can learn how to deal with the criticism. And I think we've got several good concepts from the Bible that shows how we can actually overcome criticism.
So you have three specific ways that any leader who's dealing with criticism, which we've already kind of shared, we will deal with criticism, whether it be a lot or a little. You have three ways that you want to share practically that will help every leader overcome, deal with, and be able to handle criticism when it comes. What's the first
one? Yeah, when encountering criticism, number one, don't shut out the critics. This is a big temptation. As soon as you hear someone criticize you, look, you just want to say, you know what, forget you. I'm done talking to you. I never want to hear from you again. A great leader is assertive enough to lead, but confident enough to listen. We've got to understand and consider.
That's really good. Can you say that again just so our audience got that?
Absolutely. A great leader is assertive enough to lead, yes, but he's also confident enough to listen.
Can you explain that just a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, sometimes we think of a leader and we think, okay, who is a leader? He's the guy out front. She's the woman that's willing to take the lead when she sees the need. Well, that's exactly what a leader is, assertive, willing to say, I'll walk forward. I'll take the flag up the hill. I'll become the lead pastor. I'll become the youth minister. I'll become the person that's out front. No problem. That's assertive enough to lead. But a great leader is also confident enough to listen. This is why we don't shut out the critics. If someone is going to say something negative, maybe they have a point. We ought not shut out the critics. So what do? We consider the critique. I believe that only an extreme egotist is unwilling to evaluate and analyze his positions or personal behavior. What my critics say about my church might actually be true. What my critic says about my attitude might actually be right. So what I've done is when I'm critiqued, I take three filters and I run that critique through those three filters. For me, those critiques, those filters are the Word of God, the wife of my youth, and an honest friend. And that really helps me realize whether or not this critique is worth my time.
So can you give us like a practical example maybe in your ministry or leadership where you had to do this very thing you just explained?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I can. Okay, so I can remember the very first time I did not wear a tie when I preached. I remember it was a big deal. I mean, I grew up only seeing preachers in suits and ties. I only ever preached in suit and ties. I remember we had a special Sunday years ago where I did not have a tie for a special old-fashioned Sunday. And I thought, man, this seems awkward and weird to me. So when I strategically said, you know, I'm not going to wear a tie today, maybe not a jacket. Man, I remember thinking, this is odd, but I'm going to do it. And boy, we got a little criticism for that, a little criticism. And I remember thinking, okay, boy, it doesn't feel good to be criticized. So what I did is I filtered that. I have my process. I filtered that through the Word of God. What does the Bible say about me having to wear a tie in the pulpit. Well, for me, I didn't see any outright command or even a principle for me that would make me want to do that or have to do that. And then I talked with my wife. I talked with my wife about it, and I specifically remember the criticism was this: you're just trying to be cool. And I remember thinking to myself, cool. Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to be cool. Here I am giving my life to Jesus as a church planter in Las Vegas, and my goal is to be cool. That's right. So it was not necessarily a spirit-filled response at first, but I looked in the Word of God and I asked myself, am I just trying to be cool? What does the Bible say about this? I asked my wife, honey, where's my heart on this? Do you think that this criticism has validity? She looked at me and said, there's no way you're cool. Trust me, that is not a problem. And I looked at, I spoke with an honest friend. I have a couple, God has blessed me with a couple real good, honest friends outside of our ministry, other pastors. And I said, hey, look, I don't want to do things just because I'm trying to be cool. Do you think that that's valid? And whenever I received from these three validation, man, I felt a lot better. I realized, look, I considered the critique, and the critique in that instance, well, it didn't hold much water.
I'll tell you, the way you explain that and just thinking through that, that's such a different way to look at criticism. Most people would, you know, take that criticism, and you could have said, I'm the pastor. I'll do what I want to do and forget about it. But to walk through those filters, I think, are so important because it puts you in a better place spiritually, emotionally, when you get through that.
Look, the critique might be true. And if it is, I want those closest to me to be able to speak into my life.
What's the second thing that you consider when you don't shut out the critics?
Yeah, don't shut out the critics. Consider the critique, but also consider the source. There are many reasons why someone may publicly or privately criticize you. And when you understand those reasons, you realize ultimately the criticism might not be about you, it might be about them. For example, when you consider the source, politically, some may have to do so. They might have to criticize you in order to retain their own influence. We see this in the political realm all the time. I have to pull you down so that my stock increases. And sadly, that's not only in the political realm. It's also in the business world. It's also in family dynamic. And it also takes place in the ministry sometimes, especially within denominational politics. What do you think of so-and-so? What do you think about this revival in Burlington? What do you think about this church plant in Las Vegas? And sometimes people are put in a position where if they don't say something negative, then that affects them politically. Hey, if you're doing things outside of the box, and you're doing things that maybe others may not be able to technically approve of, then people are going to talk about you. People are going to say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? And when that happens, sometimes people are going to have to go negative, because politically, if they don't, their own reputations will be on the line. Politically, if they don't say, oh, I don't know, I really question the direction of that person, then they themselves might lose out politically. So they are, by obligation, have to criticize. Now, I don't think that's right, Steve. I'm not saying they should criticize, but a lot of young guys go through criticism because politically, people criticize. But at the same time, when you consider the source, realize they may be saying negative because they're politically in a situation where they have to say something negative.
What are some other reasons why you think people would feel the need to criticize someone else?
Now, some do it politically. Some do it narcissistically. What I mean by that is narcissistically, some may do so, criticize, in order to gain attention. This is the individual who is not doing much with their own life and ministry. And honestly, they don't know what else to do but to rip on what everybody else is doing. They're like clouds without water, let's say. They aren't doing much with their own life and ministry, so man, they feel it necessary to tear apart every other person they put in. What is that about? Let's be honest. Narcissism. They're so focused on themselves, they need attention. Well, I'm kind of like with TR on this, Teddy Roosevelt. How about get out in the arena and do something yourself? Some people have to do it politically. Some people do it narcissistically. Some people do it habitually. Look, some people criticize just because that's simply their habit. It's what they do. They tend to be very critical people, and they're unable to mind their own business. And so my point is this. You're sitting there, you're like, I'm really feeling criticized right now. Consider where it's coming from. It might be that that's just the habit of that person. It has little to do with you, has much to do with where they're coming from. Some people do it jealously. Some may criticize because they secretly covet your assignment. Again, this has nothing to do with you and what you did as being wrong. It's that they're so upset about where they are, they're not comfortable with they are, and there's a covetousness there, which is not right, but we need to understand it. And then some people criticize philosophically. They criticize, they do so because they see themselves as some kind of a avenger of truth or beacon of righteousness. They consider it their spiritual gift to the church to criticize. It's a philosophy of life. So what you and I have to do when we're criticized, we have to ignore the criticism if the source is tainted in some way. The critique has more to do with them and their particular issues of insecurity than it does with anything you've done. So I've learned to relax.
Those are some great thoughts, Josh, and I think it's important for us to remember those things and to consider the source. Now, what would be your thoughts on social media? Because, you know, in our day and age that we live in, a lot of criticism may come through the medium of social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, whatever. How does someone deal with that?
Yeah, and the anonymity behind this, right? People can just criticize from behind their screen and never look you eye to eye. This is truly kind of a sad and dreadful thing, but we have to understand the whole world is dealing with this. Hollywood are not the only people that have to deal with trolls. And this is the appropriate terminology for what many people are doing on social media and blogging today, is simply trolling. And so that's fine. We just have to realize that's the age we live in. In the past, a pastor that may have been going through a criticism, he would have to deal with that within his flock, his community, his city. Today, not so much. And so that's what we have to learn to deal with. And this is why I think when it comes to not shutting out the critics, the third thing you ought probably consider is a conversation. This has been the most amazing thought to me. Every critic is a possible convert. See, realizing that, look at what Jesus did, example, with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man who was a Pharisee. He was related to the Sanhedrin. He was from the enemy camp. He hated everything to do with Jesus. But Jesus, instead of attacking him and damning him, converted him through love, patience, and personal interaction. Look, give your critic the benefit of the doubt. Just because they're against you doesn't mean they're against God. They just may need time to mature and grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I personally do things in service to God in our church that 10 years ago I would have condemned as wrong and wicked and worldly. I'm thankful that the Lord was patient with me. I think this, if you're being criticized, if you are simply patient with that godly deacon, that youthful seminarian, that elder pastor, you may just lead him from critic to convert. I've seen this happen.
So you say give your critic the benefit of the doubt. Can't that be hard at times? And why do we struggle with that as leaders to always go to that default? Why do we always go to more of a defensive position when we're criticized?
Well, it's because it's human nature. We're carnal beings, and it's hard to respond in the spirit. But the Bible says if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a fleshly desire to react in a negative way. But if we see them as children of God, and we might be able to convince them and bring them around and convert them to biblical truth, this is a helpful thing. I'm telling you, Steve, I've seen it over and over. You would be shocked. Our audience would be shocked. You might not, Steve, because I talked to you quite a bit. But our audience would be shocked how many phone calls I get from people who would begin conversations with me and say, Josh, you know, Brother Tice, I've been watching your ministry from afar, and I really don't like a lot of things you've said, but I've been watching. And I got to tell you, I kind of like some of the stuff you're doing now. It's amazing to me that critics are turning into converts. Well, if I don't show mercy and I don't show grace and we don't show love and show our biblical point of view, we'll never see every critic becoming a possible convert. So the point is, don't shut out the critics because they might have a point. They might not have a point at all because their source is just corrupt, or you might actually convert them to biblical thinking.
And do you think that so much of that conversion, we'll call it, happens because of the attitude and spirit of the one being criticized?
I think they're twofold. I think, first of all, the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of Christians. So every single one of these Christians, God is working on them. And if what we are doing is biblical and spirit-led, God is going to be convincing them of truth. That's what he does. But also, if we, the criticized, are calm, loving, gentle, merciful, full of grace and truth, what's going to happen is we will be able to reach them with the truth. This is our desire, not only as soul winners with the gospel, but also when it comes to these kind of criticisms.
Well, that's a great first point, and that's going to be the longest point, I think, for the rest of this podcast. But I think those are good thoughts. We want to move on now to kind of the big thought number two. When it comes to leadership and criticism, dealing with it, we said don't shut out your critics. What's the second thing we should do?
I would say focus on who matters. Hey, remember the 25% rule. I've used this in our church many times. A quarter of everyone in the world will love you. Nothing you can do about it. A quarter of everyone in the world will tend to like you. And with dedication, you can convince them to love you. A quarter of everyone in the world will dislike you. There's nothing you can do about it. They just don't like you. But with a little hard work, you might be able to convince them to like you, give you a chance. Then there's a quarter. 25% of the world's population. You just got to get in your mind. 25% of the world is not going to like me, no matter what I do, no matter what I say. And why is this helpful for me, Steve? As a natural people pleaser, I want 100% of the world to love me. You know, I mean, people all over the world, no matter who they are. If they don't like me, it might be because they just don't know me. No, they might just not like
me.
That's
exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact is, they just don't. They don't like me. And the point is getting that into your mind and realizing, look, I need to focus on who matters. Well, who matters to the leader, to the Christian leader, to the minister? Well, the master, Jesus Christ. The most important person that matters is Jesus Christ. If he, the one who set my direction, is okay with me, then I'm okay. I think of it this way. When you're a servant of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter when someone questions your direction. Well, I get that quite a bit. I like Josh. I'm just not sure if his direction. Now, that's okay with me because I have found great comfort in the reality that I follow Jesus daily. Like daily, I get up, I read my Bible, I pray, I follow him. That's my direction. If the critiques of my fellow servants become overwhelming, then I simply need to return to the master and discuss my assignment with him. I don't need to sit back and think, oh man, people are just upset with who I am or what I've got going on or critiques. Look, it's okay. I just sit down with Jesus, and if he's pleased with me, then I'm pleased with me.
And as a leader, I think that's almost essential, especially a ministry leader, because as we're criticized, there's going to be those times where we genuinely question our direction. What are we doing? Where are we going? Is this the right way? And what you're saying is, as leaders, as ministers, we need to go back to our time with Jesus and make sure that God has given us clear direction. And when we have that, then we can go forward in confidence.
Go forward in confidence. If your master is pleased, I'll tell you another thing that really helps me is when I have the backing of not only my Lord, but I have the backing of my family, that really helps as well. There's nothing like family support. And thankfully, I have a big family. I've learned to get my validation from the Lord, yes. But sometimes Jesus chooses to bring this encouragement through my wife, Heather, and kids, to know I can go home to them and they love Daddy, to know I can go home to her and wrap myself in her arms. That makes me say, you know what? It doesn't matter who hates me. My kids love me. I mean, I've got a very supportive extended family with my dad and my siblings and their families, my brother-in-law, my father-in-law. I thank God for this, but I got to tell you, genuinely, if it weren't for my walk with Christ and my family, sometimes that criticism can get to us. Look, God has shaped you perfectly for the people you lead. You are not called to lead everyone, just the group you're supposed to lead. That's why God has created other leaders. They will be taken care of. All you need to do is focus on your people. But you are meant to lead the ones he has brought to you. So lead them, love them, listen to them. If the whole world hates you, but the Lord is pleased with your direction, and the people that are following you understand that direction, then the criticism of others doesn't matter.
I think those are great thoughts, Josh. And I think what you said there, God has shaped you perfectly for the people you lead, is such a powerful statement because it really brings that calmness that no matter what you do or no matter how you're criticized, that if God is pleased with you, then it's okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked about don't shut out your critics. That's number one. Number two, we talked about focus on who matters, your family, those who you lead, and Jesus Christ, of course. But then lastly, when we're dealing with criticism as a leader, what's the last thing we should do?
Okay, so when you're dealing with criticism, here's the last one, and it's probably the strongest, but here it is, toughen up. Look, criticism, the more it happens, the less it hurts. That's why they call it having a thick skin. You're going to get calloused as a leader. Don't worry about it. I wish I could put into the heart of every young minister that's listening to this, who's just starting out, the fact is you'll be criticized and it doesn't hurt as much later on. Sometimes we need to just not care about what someone is saying about our ministry, our life, our family. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be calloused. I'm simply saying that with time, the sharp darts won't be able to puncture as quickly in the skin and as deeply as they once did.
So in saying that, toughen up.
Toughen up.
Over time, it gets easier.
It does get easier. And you think, but that's not a good thing, right? I need to stay sensitive. Oh, no, no, no. You need to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to criticism, you'll be shocked how tough you can get very soon.
So when leaders develop that thick skin and they're able to handle that criticism, what will that allow them to do?
Well, look, when high-performance leaders are able to forge forward knowing that people hate them, and it's okay to be hated. Remember the 25%. They don't let it get to them because they know that universal acceptance is not the goal. When pastors realize that universal acceptance is not the goal, then they can deal with criticism. What we have to do instead is look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember, he was so despised at the end of his ministry, they crucified him. How can we be surprised that we, his followers, are not continually receiving the accolades of a sinful world or a religious establishment? They're not going to celebrate you. That's what you have to get through your mind. Nobody's going to celebrate you other than Jesus, and that's all that matters. And when we understand that, we realize, you know what? I guess it's true. I can tough it up because the criticism shouldn't hurt that bad.
It just seems to be going back to the same thought of when we are criticized, we need to go to Jesus. And I know that may sound kind of trite to our listeners, but it is true that he can give us that confidence, that calmness, and help us develop that thick skin as we go to him and rest in him. Now, in wrapping up this thought, and as we deal with criticism, what are some things that you would say to our listeners to kind of bring all these thoughts together?
Right. I would say, remember, it is a weakness to crave the continual approval from everyone. Remember, criticism will happen and will increase as your influence does. So stay focused on the master and you'll be just fine.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us these thoughts on leadership and criticism. If you enjoyed this idea talk, we encourage you to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, which is a monthly podcast, and that helps us to be able to get this content to you right in your inbox. Also, if you enjoyed this, please go on and give us a 5-star rating.
That 5 stars. Look, really, if you give me 1 stars, I'll consider it criticism.
Exactly. And we'll tough it up through that, but give us 5 stars because we want everyone to like us. No, but seriously, it really helps us to be able to get content like this visible to more people. So go on, give us a 5-star rating. Let us know how much you liked it. And we look forward to having you join us again next month for this Idea Talk. Also, don't forget, Idea Day South is coming up November 15th.
Oh, that one's going to be good.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to sell out. So go to ideaday.cc and register today. Thank you so much for being with us on this episode. We look forward to having you again next month.